Jason Thompson is the head of diversity and inclusion on the U.S. Olympic Committee. But back in the 90s, before he was running diversity initiatives for the Olympic Committee, he was the first Black president of ASUW at the University of Wyoming. Now, he's returning to his alma mater as the keynote speaker of UW's MLK Days of Dialogue. He told me that being student body president wasn't exactly one of his ambitions.
You know, it's funny because I didn't want to be president. I had no intentions of ever running to be student body president. I did it more so because Dominic Martinez, who was the vice president when I was president, wanted to run. People were kind of giving him a hard time about it. And my wife just came with the idea I should just run with him just to be supportive. And that's what I did. So I was always a little surprised about how I was treated. And some of it was negative, some was positive. I mean, it was a lot more negative than I thought it was going to be. I'm glad I did it. I think it's been a pretty significant piece of my life and my personal history. I learned a lot, to say the least.
What were some of those reactions that you were talking about, some of those negative and positive reactions?
I didn't really know what to get myself into. And so I just did your typical stuff. You know, I just made these posters. I put them up. And I kid you not, they were being ripped down faster than I could put them up. And I remember people telling me, Jason, you're never going to win. I would say, well, why not? They would say, well, you don't have any posters up. And I would say, what are you talking about? I got posters everywhere. And sure enough, they were literally being ripped down as fast as I could put them up. And then I remember one night at home, I got a phone call, and somebody was literally threatening to beat me up. That was early on, within the first couple of days. It got to the point that it got so heated, they actually, to run the general election, they actually brought in the city of Laramie, and they used all their equipment, and they actually conducted the vote, because there was a lot of tension even between myself and some people who were running and conducting the election. And so to make sure that didn't become an issue, the city actually ran the thing. I think that was the only time that's ever happened.
Do you think race was the motivating factor behind some of those reactions?
You know, part of it was I was kind of an outsider, I guess you could say, so some of it might have been that. ASUW had always been kind of the same small group of people typically running and winning, and that's just kind of how it was. And I think some of it was race. I can't deny the reality of that, and it's the world we live in.
How did that experience impact your decision to continue working in diversity and inclusion?
I would say when I first left, I was a little disappointed. It was a rough year. I mean, there's a lot of little slights that we had to take, and I say we, me, myself, and Dominic. So there's probably a little bit of bitterness I left with, but I'm over that. You know, now I look back on it, it was, you know, you have a choice to focus on good or bad things, and I think generally there were some really good people there that helped me along the way that didn't have to, who felt very committed that this was important, and specifically the trustees at the time. And I remember being very nervous about going to the trustee meeting, thinking, you know, if the students are treating me this way, I can't imagine what's going to happen when I get to the trustee meeting. You know, it's all these older white people who, and I had all these assumptions about them, none of which ended up being true. They're very nice to me, and it was a great experience. And I think maybe the reason I continue to work in diversity is partly because of that, because it was a positive.
You have gone on to work with several different organizations, academic institutions. How did you come into your current role at the U.S. Olympic Committee?
I'm lucky. You know, it's a funny story because I had forgotten I'd even applied for the job, and I got a phone call, and I was not one of the top candidates. They basically said, we got an interview today if you want it. And my first response was, well, I definitely want it because I love the Olympics. I want to be a part of it, but it doesn't seem fair because everyone else has time to prepare, and I hadn't had time to prepare. And so she said, well, it doesn't matter. It's about you, and they want to know more about you. And basically, if you don't take it, you know, we're just filling the slot. So it didn't give me the impression they were all that interested in me. But for whatever reason, I must have done a good job because I got the job, and within about 2 weeks after that first call, I had received an offer to work for the Olympics.
Well, it seemed to have worked out. What all do you do in your role?
So a lot of the work is looking at what are our processes as far as, you know, how do we recruit and make sure that our staff is diverse. And then we also work with all the national governing bodies and encourage them to do things in the area of diversity. You know, my CEO came to me and said, hey, you know, how are we going to measure diversity? What does this mean? And so we actually developed some scorecards. You can go to our website and see them. But I think what we've done is we've made it transparent. We've said, you know, we're committed to having a team that looks like America. And not only that, we're going to be honest about where we're at and the places we need to do more work. Because in some cases, we need to see more women in coaching. In some cases, we just don't have a very diverse fan base, or we don't have a very diverse team in that particular sport. Because that's really what it's about. It's not that everybody has to be an athlete. It's just that we think everybody should feel like this is something they should be able to participate in as a fan. We're excited about the Winter Games. It'll probably be one of the more diverse teams that we've ever taken to a Winter Games.
You will be returning to your alma mater, UW, for the MLK Days of Dialogue, and you're going to be the keynote speaker for that. What was it like to be asked to speak?
I'm honored to be asked and probably intimidated, to say the least. You know, the more I think about it, the more I got nervous about, I'm not sure what to say. But then, you know, as I started to reminisce, I started watching some videos and different things, and there's something that struck me. You know, you can always watch these videos from the 60s, and there's a moment where these young African-Americans are just sitting at a counter, and people start to beat them. And I thought all they were asking for was to sit at a table and to be served. And I thought, you know what, there isn't actually that much pressure, because they were just fighting for me to be average. And if you think about it, that's not that big deal. You know, that's a non-issue. You should just, you know, why can't I just go get a meal? And so that has actually helped me to realize that I don't have to be Martin Luther King when I give my comments. I just have to be average, and in an odd sort of way, that's all they were fighting for.
The year's theme for MLK Days of Dialogue is reflecting on progress, so taking that look back, as you have as well. What progress do you think still needs to be made on civil rights?
It's one of the things, too, I think sometimes when people point that out, people feel like, oh, we're not validating the past. And I think it's part of the process that we should continue to question. I think that's the work we need to do. You know, I look at this Me Too campaign, and to me, that is success as much as it is failure, in the sense that it means people who have felt in the past they could not speak up now feel like they can speak up. The work is moving forward. I think those also represents very difficult, uncomfortable conversations that we need now continue to have. Why, you know, we see almost no women or no people of color as CEOs, that we haven't fully opened the door to all the opportunities in our country. And, you know, some of those answers are going to make us uncomfortable.
Jason Thompson is the Director of Diversity and Inclusion on the United States Olympic Committee and the keynote speaker for the University of Wyoming's MLK Days of Dialogue. Jason Thompson, it was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate the time.